Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be with you. My name is Mike, one of the pastors here. So nice to be with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. Especially well done for dragging yourself out in the rain and the miserable weather. How mental is the weather at the moment? The other day I was working from home and it was glorious sunshine, then it rained, then it blew a gale, and then it hailed, all in the space of a couple of hours. I don't know about you, anyone else like kind of desperately longing for a holiday, for some sunshine? I am definitely in that mind frame where most days at the moment I think about when I'm going to go on holiday next. And I love going on holiday. I love everything about it. Sunshine has got to be top of the list. I'm an out-and-out confessed sun worshipper. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love the cocktails. I love sitting by the pool pretending that I'm not responsible for my children anymore. I love eating copious amounts of ice cream. I even love like all the planning and the dreaming and the preparation about thinking about going on holiday. And the funny thing is, here's what happens every single time I go on holiday without fail. Usually we're a couple of days in, sitting by the pool, like feeling relaxed. My kids are somewhere, not my responsibility anymore. And I turn to my wife, Caroline, and I go, oh, this is nice, isn't it? And then I go, should we stay a bit longer? And then I start like Googling how much flight changes would be. And I start like looking at my work calendar to see if I can extend my annual leave, which the request usually gets denied. And then I go quiet for a moment. And then a couple of minutes later, as if it's some kind of amazing revelation that I don't have every single time we're on holiday, I go, we should move here. And then I start looking at like jobs and houses and schools. I start writing my letter of resignation to Tim, drafting it out, getting all excited about our new life in the sun. And then when the breakfast ice cream sugar rush has kind of worn off, it hits me and I realize that actually I'm a bit of a home bird at heart. I love the UK. I love home. I love my home comforts. I am a home bird. Home is where my heart is because I love my home comforts. I love the familiar, stable, warming, soul-hugging satisfaction of the things that make home, home. And number one of the list has got to be my bed. I can stay in the biggest five-star hotel and nothing compares to my own bed. It is amazing. Maybe it's a cup of tea, or maybe it's snuggling up on the sofa, or Yorkshire puddings, or a roast dinner with extra Yorkshire puddings. Bacon. What is it about bacon in other countries? It just never tastes the same as here, right? A country pub with an open fire. Or maybe my Farsi community will resonate to this one. Friday night, we had some fessenjan. That is a home comfort for me. British humour, sarcasm, fish and chips, a good curry, bonfire night, one of my favourite nights of the year, shepherd's pie. Anyone noticing a food theme running through this? But you get the point. These are the things that make the UK home for me. They're my home comforts and I love them and I come back to them time and time again. And for the note takers in the room, that is the title of my talk today, Home Comforts. Because we're in the middle of a teaching series on Colossians and Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And here at the start of chapter 3, he's got an encouragement to them. And the encouragement is this, be careful where you find your comfort. Be careful where you find your comfort. And right before that encouragement, he comes with a bit of teaching, which we'll just dive into first. And the teaching moment is this. You've moved house. You have moved house. Let's read together chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and I'll explain what he means. It'll come up on the screen if you want to follow along. Since then, Paul says, you have been raised with Christ. So set your heart on things above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not the earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I love the Amplified version, so I'm just going to read this to you as well because it brings it to life for us. Therefore, you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead. Keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep habitually focused on the things above, the heavenly things, not the things of this earth which are only temporal. For you died to this world and your new real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. In other words, you've moved house. You have a new home, just as Paul teaches in Philippians 2 when he says, follow my example, live as we do. Don't follow the people who follow the earthly path to death and destruction, because no, you and I, as followers of Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. You have moved house. Your home is now heaven. So focus on these things. Now, we don't have time today to get into the deep theology behind citizenship of heaven, but essentially, in a nutshell, it's this. We are just tourists here on the earth. Until it is transformed into the new likeness of the new heaven and the new earth, we are just tourists here on earth. You've moved house. Heaven is your new home. And if home is where the heart is, if home is where the heart is, then set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on the things of heaven where Christ is seated. Find comfort for your heart, find comfort for your soul, find comfort for your deepest longings in heaven, because you've moved house and heaven is your new home. And I wonder if there's anyone who's come in this room today and you know you need comforting. You know that there's a struggle in your life or a pain in your life or a difficult situation that you're navigating, and you know it needs comforting. You know somewhere, somehow, something has to comfort the pain, the hurt, the longing, the desperation that you feel deep down. I wonder if anyone resonates with that today. Well, here's the good news. He is here for you today. By the power of his Spirit, he is here and he can meet with you. So would you join with me, just as we've been doing in worship, and set your hearts on things above. Set your gaze on the face of Jesus. Set your mind on the things of heaven. Focus heavenward and gaze towards heaven and all that it can manifest in your life today. And as we know and understand that heaven is our home, the place that we should find our comfort, there's an encouragement from Paul to the church at Colossae and to us. Therefore, let your lives reflect that heavenly reality. If you've moved house and heaven is your new home, then let your life reflect that. Let your life reflect the fact that you have a new home. You know, whenever I go on holiday, and to be honest, every single day, just chatting to you folk, people notice that I'm not from around here. Doesn't take very long for someone to go, oh, you're not from around here. Where are you from? Doesn't take long for someone to notice my beautiful Yorkshire accent and to notice that I'm not from around here. When I go about my life, my accent is a sign of where I am from. Let's take a second and watch this clip from Mock the Week.
A northerner has been accused of terrorising London by walking around saying hello. Generic northerner Stephen Malley left Londoners traumatised by his attempts to interact with them in a friendly, cheerful manner. Here's Nathan with more.
Malley arrived here at Oxford Circus at 9:32 this morning. He had already said hello to several people en route from King's Cross Station, leaving worried commuters unsure why a man they did not know was talking to them.
He made direct eye contact, and then said, morning. First I thought, well, is this just a statement? Because, I mean, it was the morning, but no, something in his tone suggested this was a greeting.
Malley was apprehended by London police, who were forced to let him go, as friendliness to strangers is not a crime until next year. Outside the station, Malley gave a statement.
Where I come from, it's okay to greet strangers or comment to them about the weather. I did not know the customs of London, and I apologise if I offended anyone. I did not mean to be happy. I'm going back on the train now.
And Nathan, what should Londoners do if approached by a northerner?
Headphones on, head down, and avoid eye contact. They are generally friendly, but they will headbutt if cornered.
It's just a silly illustration, but I think you get the point. Paul's encouragement to the church at Colossae is this. Do you live like citizens of heaven? When people encounter you, would they know where your home is? Just a few verses prior in chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says this, why though do you live as those who belong to the earth? Because you don't live here anymore. Instead, set your heart on things above. Remember that you have moved house, that heaven is your new home, and so let your life reflect that. As a citizen of heaven, when people encounter us on a daily basis, when we go about life, when we make our decisions, when we make our choices, have conversations with people, do we live like the Northerner in London, making it really clear to people that we are not from here, that we have a different way to live our life, that we are citizens of heaven? And ultimately, setting our heart on things above, setting our heart on the things of heaven, is about giving our very all to it. It's about what we value, what we treasure, where we put our hope, where we find our strength. We put our heart in the place that we find comfort. Where we find comfort in life, that is where our heart is often too. And so our home comforts are where we place our heart. And if we've moved house, then our home comforts need to change too. You know, after reminding them that they've got a new home, Paul goes on to say, don't look for the old earthly comforts that you used to. No longer look to this world to be the comfort that you need in your life. We'll just keep reading together, verses 5 to 11. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but you must rid yourself of all these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Paul is really clear. These are the old ways of living. These are the old earthly comforts that used to satisfy you. He essentially lists a whole load of sin. And because sin, basically, most of us don't really go around wishing to do wrong to others. We don't go around wishing to be angry towards another person. But what that is doing is often masking or meeting a deep comfort within us that we know needs to be met. Anger, for example, we don't mean to be angry to people. It's often an overflow of a deep hurt or pain in our life that presents itself as anger. Sexual immorality is often meeting the comfort of a lack of love or acceptance or self-worth. Or greed is often meeting the comfort that we need in terms of not feeling like we've got enough, or feeling fearful about provision. We all have areas in our life that need comforting. Longings, desperations, hope that need comfort. But we all turn from time to time to earthly, temporal things to be that comfort, to meet that place of need or longing. And essentially, when we do that, they're taking the place of God. They're saying to God, you are not enough in that area, and so I'm going to harden my heart and I'm going to turn to the earthly things to be what I need in that area of my life. Tim Keller, who is a pastor who wrote Counterfeit Gods, says this, the true God of your heart is what your thoughts effortlessly go to when there is nothing else demanding your attention. If we look to some created thing to give us the meaning, hope, and happiness that only God himself can give, it will eventually fail to deliver or break our hearts. You know, sometimes these earthly comforts, these things that we lean on to comfort our longings and our needs, sometimes they're overtly and obviously a sin, you know, impurity, anger, lies, gossip, the stuff that we talked about. Other times they're a bit more subtle. They're a bit harder to kind of put our finger on the things that are taking the place of God in our life. You know, when I'm sitting on holiday, dreaming about moving to Jamaica, eating 4 ice creams a day, that's okay for a week, right? But if I did move to Jamaica, if I did make Jamaica my home and I continued to eat 4 ice creams every day, in a month or two, I'd be in trouble, right? And the same is true of our heavenly citizenship. Now that we have moved to heaven and heaven is our home, there are some things of the earth that we turn to comfort us. And for a moment, they might be okay, but we can't lean on them forever. You know, for me, if I've had a really stressful day and everything feels a little bit out of control, too much to manage, then I'll go home and I will frantically tidy the house and throw everything away. And my wife, Caroline, will come home to a spotless house and she'll go, okay, you've had an interesting day. I'm just going to leave you for a moment before we talk about what's really going on here. Or maybe if I'm like struggling and feeling like I'm a bit hurt by something, I know that I can rush straight to a friend as an extrovert to process it with them instead of turning to God and processing it with him. Or maybe for some people, it's like focusing on fitness or your looks as a way of getting like self-validation for your worth or your identity. Or maybe it's like turning to a massive chocolate bar at the end of the day to soothe the hurt and pain that you've experienced as you've gone about your life. You know, just this week, actually, this week's been mental for me. And by Wednesday, I was feeling completely overwhelmed by everything that I had to get done by today. And I was like, I just don't think I'm going to do it. I'm definitely not going to sleep tonight. And I was getting really stressed that if I didn't sleep, then the next day would be even worse and be a knock-on effect. And so I decided before I went to bed that I was going to have a gin and tonic. So I had a gin and tonic before I went to bed, and it was delicious. It felt really nice, and I slept really well. But do you know what happened when I woke up on Thursday morning? All my problems and all my stresses and all my worries were still there, and I had to go to Jesus to be the answer in that moment. Just like ice creams on holiday, they're okay for a moment, but we cannot lean on them time and time again. These earthly comforts cannot and should not be a long-term fix. We need to let God into those places that need comforting. And here's the thing, here's the challenge that we face. It can be so easy, however extreme or subtle they are, to find ourselves leaning on these earthly comforts, to falling back to our old ways and leaning on them. Paul knows this though, and that's why he's encouraging the church. That's why he's reminding them, because we can forget, right? We can forget that we're citizens of heaven and we think that we're citizens of the earth. And so we can forget and we can get caught up in the old ways of life. I've moved house lots and lots of times. This has actually happened to me more than once. I've moved house and I used to work in bars and restaurants at the time. So I moved house and the same day I went to work and I did a 12-hour shift and I finished at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So I was exhausted. I jumped in my car and I drove home and I got out the car and I looked around and I went, I don't live here. And I'd driven to my old house, forgotten that I'd moved house that day and gone back to my old house. So I had to go back in my car and drive to my new house because I'd just completely forgotten the pace of life and just rushing on through. And it can be so common and too easy for us to default to the old ways, to default to the ways that we used to live, to default to the earthly comforts, to default to the things that the world would tell us to lean on instead of finding our comfort in heaven. Especially when we're tired or when we're busy or when the world throws us a curveball, our natural instinct can just go to what I know, go to what I know, my earthly comfort. But here's the thing, in those moments when you find yourself leaning on an earthly comfort, the enemy would have you believe that there's no way back, that your habits are too ingrained or that change will be too hard or that your sin is too great. But here's the truth in that moment. You can say, I don't live here. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to live with the dissatisfaction of earthly comforts because I am a citizen of heaven and I can find my comfort in Jesus and in the heavenly things and in the eternal salvation and life that he can give for you. And so if you're here in that moment today, if you're feeling that, remind yourself that there is grace for you. There is grace for me because we don't live here. We are citizens of heaven. Billy Graham says this, home is my heaven. I am just passing through. And so I want you to remind yourself, and it might even be a word for you right now today, if you find yourself, if you catch yourself in a moment saying, oh, I'm leaning on earthly comforts. I've been leaning on sin. I've been leaning on an idol. I've been leaning on a false hope. Then you can speak this truth over yourself. I don't have to stay here. I'm just passing through because I am a citizen of heaven. You know, that is all that this world has to offer us. empty, fake, fragile, hollow, earthly comforts that at best will mask a pain or a need or a longing for just a moment, or at worst will cause further grief, hurt, and pain down the road. But heaven is your home. Heaven is your new home, and your new home has so much more for you. The comforts of heaven, the comforts of God are rich and deep and plentiful and life-giving and eternal. And so focus on these things. Let's see what it says in verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I'm going to read that again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, this is the marker of your citizenship, of your new home. Chosen and holy, it means set apart. It means in the world, but not of the world. It means different. So let your lives reflect that. Dearly loved, loved by the creator of the universe and the King of Kings. So because of that, because of those two things, put to death the old ways of living. Put to death the earthly comforts that would seek to satisfy you for just a moment, and instead set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on the things of heaven, of the heavenly comfort. Set your hearts on things that are of eternal significance and immeasurable impact. Compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love. Set your hearts on these things, the heavenly comforts. But you know, to set your heart on something is to more than just focus on it. To set your heart on something is to desire for it, to long for it, to yearn for it, to hope for it, to consume it, to let it be your everything. And so clothe yourselves in them, Paul says. Wear them, wrap them around you, consume them, let them be your very everything. Just as you might sit and wrap yourself in a blanket around an open fire. Allow them, these heavenly comforts, to soothe you and comfort your longings and your desires. Allow them to completely enclothe you. Edward Bounds, a pastor and preacher, says this: heavenly citizenship and heavenly homesickness are in prayer. Prayer is an appeal from the lowless, from the emptiness, from the need of earth, to the highness and to the fullness and to the all-sufficiency of heaven. In other words, as citizens of heaven, we can get homesick. As we live in the tension and the stress and the pain of life on earth, as we live in the tension of the now and the not yet, we can get homesick. But don't let these things, don't let these struggles and these trials make you lean on false earthly comforts. Instead, appeal to your true home. Appeal to heaven. Appeal to God, your Father, who loves you and comforts you. Appeal to God, the provider, Jehovah Jireh. Just as Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because Jesus is the only one who can satisfy your deepest longings and your deepest needs and bring peace to your unsettled soul. Jesus is the one true comfort that you need. Just as we heard last week, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so super practically, quickly, what does that look like? What does it look like to set our hearts on heaven and to focus on the heavenly things? Well, it looks like getting on our knees in prayer before God when we're struggling with something and being real and honest with him about the difficulties. It looks like reading our Bible, chewing on the word of God and letting it speak to us and encourage us. It looks like seeking counseling if you need it. It looks like joining a Gaspeak community to have a group of people support you and champion you and help you on in your life and faith. It looks like coming forward for prayer ministry at the end of a Sunday and asking someone to lay hands on you and pray that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Set your heart on these things. Focus on the things of God and the things of heaven. Here's a really cool thing. When we clothe ourselves with these heavenly comforts, when we allow God to meet us in our struggles and our pains and our worries, when we wrap them around us and allow God to meet our deepest needs, it does way more than just meet with us personally, as amazing as that is. But just like our northerner, walking around London, making it really obviously apparent to everyone that he was from the north of England, as we clothe ourselves in the things of heaven, as we allow God to comfort us, they become a hugely powerful missional thing for our city. Because, you know, clothing ourselves in compassion, in kindness, in gentleness, and in peace is one of the smallest but most significant ways that we can be light to our city. As you meet with your neighbor or your colleague or someone at the school gate or someone at university and they chat through the struggles of life or the things that they're struggling with or the pain that they're walking through, you can meet them with the kindness and the grace and the compassion of Jesus. You can meet them where they are and the comfort of God can meet them in that conversation. Just as it says in 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those with the comfort we ourselves have received. Jesus says that we are the hope of the world. And so as we clothe ourselves with these things, as we lean on heavenly comforts, as we place our hope in heaven and in God, we can meet people where they are. We can meet them with the comfort of Jesus. And more than that, we can invite them home. We can say, here is this Jesus and he has a new home for you too. Would you like to come on the journey with me? You know, my story is one of not growing up in a Christian home. I went through like kind of life in a very normal secular way. And then when I was kind of 21, I experienced a lot of hurt and pain. One of my friends was tragically murdered and I experienced a huge amount of grief and pain and anxiety. And I turned to the earthly things to try and be my fix, to be my comfort. I turned to drugs and alcohol and partying. And of course it did nothing. It didn't meet the need. And a friend of mine reached out to me and said, well, hey, what about this Jesus guy? Because he can be your hope and your healing in this situation. He can be your comfort. And so I went on this journey with him and I did Alpha and I went to church a couple of times. And then one day he prayed for me. And as he prayed for me, the Holy Spirit met with me like a blanket around a fire. And he healed me of my hurt and my disappointment and my pain. And I gave my life to Jesus, and now I have a new home, which is heaven. And heaven is where I put my comfort. Heaven is where I find my strength. And I'm not saying it's easy. Like, I still struggle. There are so many things deep in my life that I know need comforting, pains and struggles of my journey that I know need comforting, and I get it wrong. I lean on earthly things all the time. But I am so desperate to focus on the things of heaven because I know that they are the eternal salvation. They are the eternal need. They are the things that will only satisfy my deepest longings. And so my encouragement to you is, will you join with me and go on the journey too? It might not be easy, but will you do it? Will you set your heart on the things of heaven and allow God to comfort you in the deep places? Maybe the band could come up and could I invite you all to stand and we're going to pray for a moment. You know, what would it look like if we wholeheartedly set our gaze on heaven? If we dedicated our lives to shaking off the things of the earth and instead fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on heaven and allowing Jesus to be the only comfort for our longings and our pains and our needs. Just think for a moment for your life. All the areas in which you know that you're struggling or maybe not quite living as you know Jesus would want you to, or things that you find hard, what would it look like if heaven broke through in those areas? How much more freedom would you have? How much more satisfying would life be? How much more joy and peace would be overflowing from you? What would it mean for your own life, but also your own discipleship and pursuit of Jesus, if today you decided to make a decision that says, I'm going to fix my eyes on heaven. I'm going to declare that heaven is my home and that is the only place that I will allow to satisfy my deepest needs and be my home comfort. But also, what would it look like for the sake of Birmingham? If we as a community, if everyone in this room clothed ourselves in the heavenly comforts, in the compassion of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, what difference could we make in the city as people encounter us and see us walk through the fire but not get burnt? When they see us go through struggles and have an unending peace that surpasses all understanding? What would it mean for the city to see our lives look radically different because of the hope and the truth and the salvation that we find in Jesus? I believe that people will be flocking to this building in their droves if they saw that on a daily basis. Let's take a moment to pray. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Jesus, we thank you for that truth that you are our true home comfort. That even now in this moment, you're calling us home. Maybe there's areas in our life where we've lent on the things of the world, even this week. So we reject them and say, we don't have to stay here. I can take a step towards you. And we ask, God, that you would be our deepest comfort in the places that are a struggle.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram at gastreetchurch.